Good afternoon, everyone. I am Bonita D, and I am a compulsive overeater and a member of Overeaters Anonymous, and I'm so grateful that I am. I guess I'm going to start with what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now. And I'm not going to spend too much time on what it was like because everybody knows what it was like. I grew up in a family. There were six kids and my mom and my dad. And from the time I can remember, my mother was obsessed with the way I looked. And I think today it's because, other than my height, I look exactly like my mother, and I've built like my mother. And my mother had a weight problem, and I never really knew my mama not to be on the diet. So anyway, so. She transferred her stuff onto me, and that was always something. My weight was always something. It was something. And then other family members would say things to me about my family, about my weight. Miraculously, my daddy never said anything to me about my weight. Only thing my daddy said is that, if you put food on your plate, you had to eat it. Because he was the only one that was working, and he didn't want you throwing his food away. So if you didn't want it, don't put it on your plate. But if you put it on your plate, you had to eat it. Anyway, some of the facts. Because of my mother, let's see, I did drugs really for the first time in my life because of my mama, because she gave me speed. And my mama used to be on speed. And now we lived in a house. It wasn't a big house. And it was eight people in the house. And you always knew when my mama was on diet pills because our house was real clean, real, real clean. And so she gave me my first diet pills. The funniest thing about that is that I did take the diet pills, but I still ate. So it didn't do me a bit of darn good. So I did that. Mama worked at a commercial weight loss place, and she got me a job there being a waiter and all that stuff. I did that for a long, I have lost weight, and I've always found it again, except in Overeaters Anonymous. So, my weight would go up and down and up and down, and I live, and because, of where I live, I dealt with a lot of segregation. My parents were married for 50 years. They lived in two places, but I went to seven elementary schools and two high schools, and I got bussed by a lot of white schools. And that makes it real difficult for you to have relationships when you don't, when you're forever moving around. I had an uncle who sexually assaulted me till I was about 13 years old. I did not ever tell my parents until I got into OA, and I told my parents as an adult what had happened to me. That also makes it very difficult to have relationships when you kind of don't know what the hell to do. Things were just kind of crazy. I did get to have a pretty nice time my last 3 years in high school. I met up with some young people, and they were real smart, and I enjoyed them, and the teachers liked them, and so we could leave school and stuff, and we didn't get in trouble, and we could come back to school, and we didn't get in trouble. But when we got ready to graduate, all of them had sent off their applications, and they all knew where they were going, and they all knew what they was doing. And me, with my magical thinking, now you gotta think back. Now I'm 70 years old, so you gotta think way back. You had to, this wasn't now, you had to send off a catalog, you had to fill out an application, you had to put the application fee in there, and then you had to mail it back. Ask me if I did any of that stuff. None. But I would tell people I was going to school. And in fact, I told them I was gonna go to UCLA. I ain't asked nobody for nothing, but that was my magical thinking. My daddy told me he sent me to school anywhere in the state of Georgia, but he wasn't paying no out-of-state tax, no out-of-state fees. Anyway, so I went to school in Georgia, needless to say. I did not come there, but so that's just let you know I had that's my thinking. I had this magical thinking. And at one point in time in my weight career, I got very, very small. I used to be 5, 6.5 inches tall. They tell me I'm not that tall anymore. And I weighed about 105 pounds. That was very, very small. And when I was young, I went to the little girls department because I, as a child, I never got to go to the little girls department. My mama took me to grown people department and stuff. But so I have kind of swung on both ends of the spectrum a little bit. I never was bulimic. I didn't learn anything about bulimia till I came into OA, and I'm glad I didn't because I'm sure I would have probably tried it. But I've never been bulimic, and I didn't do laxative. I ain't like none of that. But anyway, I did get through school, and after I got out of school, I met a man, and we got married, and it was nice. We didn't get along real well, but it was all right. But he took up what my mama left off. He took off because when he met me, I was on that end where I told you I weighed about 105 pounds. He took over that because as we once we got married, I don't know about you, but once I had reached a goal, what was I gonna do? I started back eating, and he watched me start gaining weight, and that was not thrilling for him. He didn't want a fat wife, and he took up asking me stupid questions like, "What are you eating?" And I would give him stupid answers like salad. I hated salads until I came to Overeaters Anonymous. I didn't eat salads unless they had a ton salad dressing on them. But so really, I was eating salad dressing. I wasn't really eating salad. And but he watched me, and so we would get into conflicts about what I was eating and stuff, and that stuff. So that kind of went on, and then we decided to become parents because our relationship wasn't too good after being married for about 8 years. Well, our relationship wasn't too good. So how was we gonna fix it? We decided we was gonna get a child. And we did. And guess what? It didn't fix our relationship. And but what it did for me is it really put my disease in my face because I was doing things that were dangerous. I worked days, my husband worked evenings, and so I would in the evenings I would pick, I get our child from nursery, I bring him home. I bathe him and I feed him and get him in the bed very early. He went to bed real early. And I would start to eat. And I'm not a person that ever bought the supersizes anything because I needed to fool myself into believing I was not eating that much food. So I made several runs to the convenience store. Once again, if you're not as old as me, you don't understand. Stores wasn't open 24 hours a day. The most you could get was a 7-Eleven, and they closed at 11 o'clock. And I would leave my child in the crib, and I would go out. And I know that's very dangerous, but I didn't care. And when my husband found out, he was ballistic. He went nuts. But do you think that stopped me? No, because from then on, I would just take the phone off the hook. So when he was at work and he called, he just got a busy signal. And that's just the way it went. Because that's where my disease took me. I don't know where yours took you, but I can tell you where mine took me. It took me to a lot of places and I did a lot of things that I didn't want to do, but I did them because I wanted to eat. I had to eat. It was no such thing as just wanting. So anyway, so. At night, when the other thing, my mama told me about Overeaters Anonymous. She didn't really come, but she told me about Overeaters Anonymous too. She told me about all kind of stuff. But anyway, in 1984, I tried to come to Overeaters Anonymous, but I couldn't find it. And anyway, I wasn't following directions. I had a hard time following direction in my disease. So then I went back out and I ate again for another 2 years. And in 1986, April of 1986, I came to Overeaters Anonymous. I came here because I could no longer fool myself into believing I was not going to get bigger. In January of 1986 was the last time I weighed myself. I weighed 171 pounds, and I can't tell you how much I weighed when I got here in April because I was eating a lot and I was gaining weight a lot. So I have no clue how much I weighed. Because I used to say, oh, I'm at 130, I'm not gonna get any bigger. I'm at 140, I'm not gonna get it bigger. But when I hit 170, I said, there's no need in telling myself that anymore. I knew I was gonna get bigger. And I was scared and I didn't know what to do. And I finally called and got some instructions. I still ended up going to the wrong place. It was a Thursday night. It was a 7:30 meeting. It was at the hospital, and I went to the wrong part of the hospital. But somebody there said, the meeting's over in the mental health building. And I went to the mental health building. And that was my first meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. It was a speaker meeting. I cannot tell you what the person said. All I can tell you is I felt safe enough to sit in a meeting with strangers and cry. And I cried for a whole hour. That is not something that you do in my family. We did not cry unless it was a sad movie or a sad song. You did not cry. And then I was embarrassed and I tried to leave. And of course, the people in OA want to hug you, they won't talk to you and all of that. And all I wanted was the diet, and I kept waiting on them to ask me for money, and they didn't. Because really, I didn't have any anyway. That was the other thing. I didn't have no money because I eat it all up. I just ate it up all the time. And then I would steal my husband's money and eat it up because he used to say he saved quarters and dimes and all that kind of stuff. And I would go in and I'd steal his money because, hey, like I told you, this disease has taken me to places, and I've done things that anyway, I don't ever say I'm surprised by anything a drug addict would do. Because I feel like I'm just as bad as any drug addict has ever been. All for the name of food. But anyway, I went to that meeting and they asked, this woman, I said, where's the food plan? What do I need? Not food plan. I said, where's the diet and what do I need to do? Because OA was the last thing that I was going to ever try. I was about to turn 31 years old. My son was 1 year old. I was having chest pains, palpitations, shortness of breath, and that's what was happening to me sitting down. And I didn't have to do anything. I had a hard time walking. Anyway, and I knew I was never going to see my son grown. I knew that was never going to happen. My mama had her first heart attack in her 40s, and I just knew I was going to have heart attacks, and I knew I was going to die, and I was not going to see this little boy grow up. But anyway, I came into this program. They told me to come back the next week. Well, they told me to come back that Tuesday, and I started going to the meeting every. I went to all the meetings on my side of town. At that time, it wasn't but two, Tuesday and Thursday night. And then they told me to go to more meetings. Well, to go to more meetings, I had to go into Atlanta, and that's fine with me because I grew up in Atlanta. So I started going into Atlanta, and I would go to Atlanta, and I would go to meetings, and my. The first part of my life in Overeaters Anonymous, it was go to meetings about 5 times a week. In between, I went to individual therapy, I went to group therapy. Whew. And then I had a little job. I had a job, I had to work, and I had a child. And I could care less what my husband was doing at that point in time. I didn't care because what those people said made sense to me. Because when I told them things like the refrigerator was calling my name and I couldn't quit eating and all of that stuff, they didn't look at me like I was crazy. They nodded their heads and they said, "We understand." But also told me, they said, "If you do these things, if you get a sponsor, if you work these 12 steps, if you read this literature, if you just keep coming back, if you do service." They just went, they went back then. We didn't have all these tools. We didn't have a plan aid. We didn't have action plan. Anonymity used to be a tool. Anyway, it's kind of all changed around some now. I think we had 7 tools when I came. Writing was not a tool when I came. But anyway, they told me to do all these things, and I did them. And for the first time in my life, I felt good because I'm one of them people that got a pink cloud. And if you've never had a pink cloud, all I can tell you is I can't imagine there's a drug that anybody can sell me that would make me feel that good. I felt good for the first time in my life in my own skin. And I needed that. I needed that because it came a time when I had to make a decision. I had to make a decision if I was going to stay in this program or if I was going to leave. And because I had been on that pink cloud, I knew I never wanted to feel like I felt before. And I said, nope, I'm in this program. I'm out in here and I'm not leaving. And I have never left Overeaters Anonymous. And this April will be 40 years that I've been in Overeaters Anonymous because I came here in 1986. I had one relapse in this program, and I have been continuously absent in the program for about 30 years. I no longer weigh 171 pounds, and have weight. When I go to the doctor, I get weight. So I weigh about 130, somewhere between 130 and 134 pounds. And I haven't owned a scale in probably about almost 40 years, probably about 36 years or so. I haven't owned a scale, and then I don't miss owning a scale. Like I said, I only weigh myself when I go to the doctor, and I don't go to the doctor often. So I'm gonna talk about some of the wonderful things this program has given me. It has given me a relationship with my higher power that I describe as the best love affair I've ever had in my life. And I'm so grateful for that. It's given me a relationship with myself that there's nowhere in the world I ever could have had self-love for myself and self-care for myself had I not come into Overeaters Anonymous. It gave me a relationship with my husband and my family members that allowed me to let them be who they are, and I get to be who I am. I got to see my son grow up. My son turned 41 years old last month. I got to see him grow up. I'm getting to see his little girls grow up. I didn't come in here for that. Really, I just only came here to lose some weight and be gone in 30 days. So I guess that means I'm a slow learner because I've been here for a long time. It has given me the ability to retire. It has given me the ability to be an upstanding citizen. It has given me the ability to mean what I say, say what I mean, and not be mean. It's allowed me to be a responsible person. I remember my first group asked me to be the treasurer. That was the biggest mess. But you know what? They just let me keep being the treasurer. And you know what? I learned how to be the treasurer. And I learned how not to make a big mess. I learned how not to make a big mess about anything. I learned how to go to work and give them an honest day's work for an honest day's pay. I learned how not to steal people's food. There was a fella that used to come to our meetings, and he used to say, just 'cause somebody got something in your house doesn't mean it's yours. And if you eat their food, you're a thief. And I thought, 'cause my husband had all kind of stuff in our house. And so that meant that if I was eating his stuff, I was stealing. I've gotten through the death of my mother, my father. I got through the death of my husband, who I wasn't expecting to die. But on June 17th, 2019, I went to the gym. I came home. My husband was in the floor in the kitchen. My husband died on that day. Very sudden. It was unexpected. But you know what? Because of Overeaters Anonymous, and because of the fact that I'm not ashamed that I come to Overeaters Anonymous, and everybody knows, they know how I eat, they know I go to program. People came to my house, and yes, they brought stuff that I don't eat, but they also brought stuff for me, and they would say, this is for you. My nieces called me and they said, Aunt Bo, what do you want us to bring to your house? What do you want? And I tell people, don't be ashamed of this program. Tell your family, tell your friends, let them see how you eat. Let them know that it's important to you what's going on. Because I'm going to tell you, I have been, the people in program have held me up. They've held me up through all of those deaths. They've held me up through good times, bad times, and it's a wonderful thing. So, what else can I tell you about this? So now I'm living by myself, and you know what? I'm having a ball living by myself, and I volunteer with some people. And yesterday they was talking about dating, and I thought, forget it. I ain't dating a soul. I like my freedom, and I like me. I stay in my house. And wouldn't this be a great opportunity for a compulsive overeater? You're living by yourself, and you could just eat, 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 eat. I live by myself, and I do a lot of things, but it ain't eat, eat, eat. In fact, I don't even like to cook. I cook out of necessity because that's just something I have to do. But I am once again, I'm responsible. Do I like to do all the things I have to do? No, because a lot of things my husband did, some things he did, I didn't even know he did. And then he died, and for a while I was pissed off. It was like he died, and I inherited my yard. My yard is pretty big, and I inherited my yard. I inherited some trees that I just had to have cut down. And that was money I didn't want to spend. But you know what? It was the right thing to do because the trees had died. And I had to cut them down. I had to get them cut down. I live in the neighborhood. I have a responsibility to my neighbors to keep my property up, because all of us need to keep our property up, to keep our property values up. I can't just let my stuff go helter skelter because I want to. So anyway, the time is up. So the topic is, what is it that you're getting out of Overeaters Anonymous? What gifts have you gotten, or what gifts do you want to get from Overeaters Anonymous? And with that, I will turn it over to the group.